because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Hit that button. Hit that button.
Click it or tick it. Oh, Adam, you're live.
Hey, right. Safety.
Yes. Look at this being consistent multiple weeks in a row. Oh, my God. It's almost like, you know, we have a regular show now. Look at this.
Consistency feels right. And I really appreciate you starting off the pod with safety first. Click it or tick it, guys.
Click it or
tick
it.
Safety first.
If you see something, say something.
So true. But, yes, consistency is key. I'm about to have a little bit more of that in my life, as I have had a very erratic first 40 years of my life. It's about to be very structured, Robert. And
first 40 years.
So it's something. It's something.
I thought you were going to say like first 4 months of the year, but no, you said first 40.
Correct.
Last 40 years.
Of yeah. And I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. So I guess the first 20 years were somewhat structured with the whole school thing and everything. But the last, the mid 20s on, it's been pretty erratic. And, I just went the complete opposite of that, and here we are, domesticated.
Were you like a big rule follower, like growing up in high school and middle school? Like, were you kind of like straight and narrow, or were you just like the rebellious kid?
I was an early partier, so I probably started maybe around sophomore year of high school. But
drinking.
Basically, that's what I did early on, was drinking and smoking pot. I never really got into the more stuff, which, you know, unfortunately a few of my friends did. So I just kind of stuck with that and, did a little bit of that in high school and college. But I would say, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, like full on straight edge in high school and then really erupt in college. And so it was more kind of steady for me. I would say, how about for you, Rob?
Pretty straight and narrow in high school. I was, you know, playing tennis a lot and traveling a lot and missed a lot of stuff, like typical high school wise, right? Like school dances and stuff. So
yeah.
I was pretty focused. I started tennis late. I started, you know, a lot of these kids that go to play in college and pro started when they were five. I first touched a tennis racket when I was 12 and really started playing consistently when I was 13. So had that little small window of like 4 to 5 years to try to get really good so I could get a scholarship. So I was pretty dialed into that life for that little window. But then, college came and it all went to hell.
Yeah, I think you were that guy. I brought it up in my too. So you were that guy. You went for it. So, I don't think I could have been like crazy good at tennis, but I could have been a lot better than I was. It's not like I didn't practice or anything, but I goofed off in practice. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, Texas tournaments, you're traveling for the weekend and I would be, you know, concerned about getting home to go out or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's what it is. And, you know, like I said, I never could have been awesome, but I probably could have been a better tennis player for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I never really, you know, a lot of the kids growing up playing these junior tournaments have like aspirations of going pro, whether they're realistic or not. It was never really like, I never played futures. I never really even had an interest in playing beyond college. All my focus was just to play in college and then maybe use tennis as a vehicle to not live, you know, similar to you, not live a traditional 9-to-5 type life where you get a job, you get married, you have kids. That I just wanted to do different random stuff. So was able to use tennis to travel and coach different places, coached in college tennis like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but never really had kind of pro aspirations. Just wanted to
I never even thought about playing pro tennis. I'm not sure it even ever really crossed my mind, but I'm done with tennis. I'm a pickleball guy. I don't want anything to do with it, but it is a great sport. It's been great to me throughout my life. And I will always have some form of soft spot in my heart for tennis.
Adam, I like the name of our podcast. It feels right just because, you know, it makes sense and it does feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the other podcast name that I like a lot, have to shout out Travis Rettenmeier, is the Tennis Sucks podcast. I mean, it's a great name.
And it's great coming from him too, who has a pretty legit background, you know, like quite a bit better than us. So for him to label his podcast Tennis Sucks podcast, kudos to Rettenmeier. And the more I see him and hear him, that man doesn't give a damn and I respect it.
Yeah, he's one of the few that doesn't give a rip, and it's and a lot of fun.
Robert, might we possibly have a guest on the episode today that also does not give a damn? Is that true, Robert?
I believe that is true, Adam. And for the people in pro pickleball that don't give a rip, she's got to be number one on the list. She does not care. She will say what she wants to say, and which is unique in pro pickleball, right? Because you know we're not writing our own checks. You know, we rely on different organizations and tours and companies and sponsors to do that for us. And the fact that, you know, she's kind of willing to put her, you know, name and word out on the line, you know, irrespective of that is pretty dope in my opinion. So pumped to have Leia Jansen on the pod a little later coming up. But yeah, until then, we'll continue on.
Yes. No, that was great. I think you're exactly right. And I feel like I'm on the fairly high end of kind of marching to my own beat and doing my own thing. But I have definitely pulled back a time or two or maybe not fully said what was on mine because of exactly what you talked about. So having gone through that personally, someone who doesn't care much about things like that, it has to have some amount of respect for me. And she definitely has that.
Yeah. And it's I think she's gonna have some things to say today.
I would imagine so.
A little earlier via text, and she's always fired up about something. I respect it.
That's right. I agree completely. So let's chat briefly just about what's coming up in the next week or two. What do you got going? You had a nice medal in Sacramento this past weekend with a lovely around the post shot on Match Point to make Championship Sunday. Tell me a little bit about this past tournament and what you got going in the next week or two, Robert.
Yeah, it was a man, that trip was a little tough, right? Because was at the U.S. Open, and then to have a cross country one and done type trip is difficult going to Sacramento also, which, you know, doesn't have a ton of direct flights to it. So I'm pretty sure everybody from the East Coast had to have a connection. So it's just a long trip getting there and getting back. And especially with kind of the health stuff I have going on, it makes it even more difficult. But fun tournament. Horrendous mixed results. Solid men's day with Ryler. He keeps getting, you know, more solid and more solid. Starting to slow his game down a little bit, which I think is really key in men's. It's a bit more effective, the drive and crash and being able to kind of blitz the female in mixed, which is why I think he's had some success there, and a little less success in men's. So he was able to drop a little bit more, working on being a bit more patient, making more dinks, taking force out of the air. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, even throughout that tournament, just kind of saw him get better and better each match. So I think I think he's going to continue getting better, and it's gonna had a lot of fun playing with him. He gets fiery. He's like sneaky. Yes. Like sneaky ragey fiery, which is a lot of fun because he'll, like, you know, he'll be pretty quiet a lot of the time, but inside you kind of see it's like it's stirring, and then it'll just explode, and you're like, whoa,
I love it.
Like that. That's fun.
I got to tell a story real fast.
Yeah.
This is the first time I played with Callan Dawson. So Callan, very mild mannered, goes about his business, you know, whatever. And so we're playing the Triple Crown, actually, in Simi Valley, California. And so, I mean, we have a couple pretty solid wins early on. You know, Callan doesn't say much, you know, we might – you know, I kind of talk a little strategy, just shakes his head, whatever. And so we're playing Tyson and Morgan, and we're in game three or something. And one of the first points of game three, we just had this super long dink rally, 50 or 60 balls, and we ended up winning. And we just walk back to the kitchen line together as a team, and he just kind of under his breath lightly just says, "These fuckers can't out-dink us." And I just go, "Whoa, Callan, okay, you're there. And he just kind of like shot a look over to me after he said
smirk.
It. And I was like, I was like, "All right, here we go, baby. Let's go, Callan." So I think you're right. Maybe someone who's a little more boisterous and does something all the time means a little bit less than someone who is low-key fiery and makes that comment without giving much at other times. Anyway, continue. Well, I wanted to squeeze that in.
I've got plenty of Callan ones like that, because he's usually like, even in rec, he's so quiet. And then you'll get like a butt tap and like a little whisper in your ear that's like, "Let's go, baby."
Yeah, like,
right. Yes.
Let's go.
So shout out to Cal, and he's the man. Lost in, well, we won the 2 out of 3 against Andre and Pesa, and then lost the 15er. On the note on the ATP, Adam, you know, it was a cool looking clip, but it wasn't necessarily particularly because of my shot. Like if you watch that kind of ATP from like the overhead view or the backhand view from the back of the court, just looks like kind of a, you know, just looks like an ATP, like good shot. But from kind of that low camera angle that they have on that sideline, at ground level, it looked really dope, right? Because you could see how long I waited. You could see kind of the angle of where it's at with the net post and how wide the ball was and kind of the bend of the ball to hook it back in. So, and like, there's been a lot of discussion about viewer, like getting better viewership in these pro pickleball matches online and on TV. And I think the APP did a really, really good job of having that camera there and showing that angle, because you're able to actually see, to me, really the first time where you could actually see kind of the shape of a ball, where to me, it wasn't like a spectacular shot. It was a good shot, but like, I think the camera angle did it justice. And I think, you know, if you have those kind of camera angles all over the place, people will be really, really impressed by what all these top level pros can do in terms of shaping the ball. So I just think that's the right direction in terms of camera angles. And I hope to see more and more of that in these broadcasts, because it really does a fine job of kind of displaying what, you know, top pros do with the ball.
I totally agree, Rob. And, you know, I think the shot was spectacular regardless of the camera view, Robert, but
I think the timing was spectacular.
It's like, yeah, that's true. That is also true, but it's kind of like the, you know, you hear the sportscasters right into your living room when the shot's coming right at you. So you kind of see that different angle, and you don't see that part side spin, part top spin that you had on the ball from an overhead view. So, or a different camera view. So the shape of the shot is what was spectacular about it, because you almost didn't have the shot and you used the spin to create the shot, and you don't see that on a different camera view. So I think you're absolutely right. Just kind of showed the specialness of some of those ATPs and different angles. You do not see that.
Yeah, I just think that ground level view is really cool. And I just wonder, I just hope some of these broadcast teams really play with that and try to figure out other cool views to show kind of the bend of the ball and kind of how players manipulate it. So to be determined, but I think it's a great step in terms of broadcast quality and getting cool angles. And I hope that continues.
Yeah. So, I was just going to say, Rob, that it's just a fact. In-person tennis and pickleball is more impressive than on TV. Sometimes in tennis, it looks like they have all day. Sometimes these exchanges look somewhat slow on TV. That is obviously not the case. So any form of camera angle that can help, or any form of production value that can help translate the quality of these shots and that play from a live perspective to the viewer, I am all for that, because in person, it is some spectacular stuff. And sometimes putting that on screen takes a little bit of that away.
Yeah. And honestly, even if it, you know, I don't know what it might look like or what angles they might use, but I would say even if it kind of impedes view and like if it's in our visual or eyesight and kind of annoying, like worth it, right? Like to increase broadcast quality is a really, really big deal right now. And getting it to translate to TV and getting more eyeballs and viewership on pro pickleball is important. So I would just say anything we can do to increase quality is important right now.
Love it.
Yes. So that was what, Sacramento. I am doing something fun next week, Adam. I'm going to Nashville, and I feel like if you didn't have an impending baby on the way, that you would be there too, because we're doing a celebrity kind of exhibition pro-am with a bunch of country music stars, and Philip Phillips. You know, he's not a country music star. He's a star, but not a country music star.
I'm going to play. Let's induce. I got somewhere to be.
we're doing a welcome dinner at Kid Rock's house. Like, all kinds of fun stuff is happening. Right. So,
well, I know, like, didn't someone make a paddle for Kid Rock, like one of the companies, and he like actually plays a little pickle, I think. Is that correct?
He's got a pickleball court at his house.
There you go.
Plays a little pickle. I don't know who made the paddle, but yeah, so doing like a celebrity pro-am exhibition next Tuesday, which will be a lot of fun. Doing some playing, like play with the pro type stuff with the Nashville pickleball community, which will be a lot of fun. And then straight from there, going up to Cincinnati for the APP, where I'll be playing with the guy that's beat me the last couple of tournaments, Andre Daescu. And
Oh, nice. Excellent.
And Susanna. So,
and so you're going to be a right side specialist for that one?
Oh, my forehand dinks money right now. My backhand counters money. My forehand flicks money. I'm a right side machine, Adam.
Love
so,
that.
So, yeah, I'm ready.
Love that. Okay, good stuff. No, that's a nice little run and a nice little couple of weeks. And I know they have a pretty solid just pickleball community in Tennessee in general. So I've done some teaching down in Florida with a couple other pros, and we seem to always have a couple sprinkled in Tennessee people down in Florida for some sunny times and some good pickleball. So love to see Adam, that, and I'm sure that'll be fun.
Adam.
Yes, yes.
Are we allowed to make the announcement yet?
What's the announcement? Oh, yes. So
for you.
So I have officially signed with Selkirk. Boom, right there. I'm rocking my Hard Eights here. I haven't got onto the Selkirk.com and got all my gear yet, but yeah, I know that they have been signing, you know, quite a few
high-end content creators, like
exactly
yourself.
Robert. So they have obviously have plenty of players inside the lines, but they have some internet personalities, some high-end content creators, and pickleball influencers. So it just made perfect sense that we would come together with a partnership. So very excited for that. Really, really cool to see Selkirk be one of those original companies and kind of, you know, stay with the times. So they got the you know, the old school, just kind of being around for a while, and they have definitely kept up with the technology, and I'm excited to get a paddle in my hand and you know, see what I can do. And I just might play one tournament with Dekel Barr at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. And having a nice little, whatever it might be, Selkirk Power Air possibly in my hand, you know, maybe we can not go 1-2. Well, we'll see.
Adam, I think you with the Power Air, like, it doesn't matter what you're playing with, you're going to be able to put the ball in the kitchen. So I wouldn't worry about that ever for you.
Okay.
We're similar in terms of when we played with softer paddles, our counters are very big swings, right?
Yes. Yes.
So with the Power Air, I've been able to shorten my counter a little bit, still too big probably, but I've been able to make it a bit smaller, and the counters are often just one counter and done.
So I'm going to get lit up less at the kitchen line, Robert. Is that correct?
That's correct. You're going to get lit up less. You're still going to get lit up, but you're going to get
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, there's never going to be no getting lit up when I'm on the court. So it's all good. But no, that's very exciting. And, you know, I've been dealing with Kate, Kate from Selkirk, who does a lot of the player stuff. And I remember her from a long time ago in Canada. Had a beer with her, and oh my gosh, the third drop sports, Mark Renison. Yep. So it's kind of cool to see old people full circle situation, older people with a different company. And now I was like, oh, I know you, we had a nice, lovely IPA together. So
hey, Adam.
Yes.
So talk about OG pickleball, you, Mark Renison, Kate, and full circle is, I don't know this person because it was before my time, but certainly wasn't before your time.
Okay.
And I think this is a Pacific Northwest type guy. And I was at Sacramento standing at the fence watching just a random men's doubles match. And Simone was beside me. She goes, didn't that guy used to play like with Ashworth and Kyle Yates? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't recognize him. And she's like, I could swear like that guy's right-handed. He's playing right-handed, but I'm pretty sure that's Curtis Campbell. But he used to play left-handed. She's like, why? He's playing right-handed. Was Curtis Campbell a lefty?
No, he's a switcheroo.
He's a switcheroo. He's like a Westgate.
Yeah, he's a switcheroo. So he would do he would do a lot of left-handed and right-handed dinks, one-handed, and then he had a really good backhand power punch from the chest. So I know he stopped playing for a while, and I think he moved from California to Utah, but he was in the mix when I first started, and yeah, he was probably right on the cusp of being a top 10 player when I first started. So he's got some game, and there you go.
He was out there
a few years off. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Cause I didn't know him, but I people have said his name, and I'm like, yeah, don't know him, but I've heard a lot of stories.
Yeah. He looks kind of like the caveman guy from the Geico commercial. That's he used to have a beard just like that guy. And it was pretty funny. That was a Mills Miller special there. He's like, go get a Geico or something. I don't know what he said, but either way, Mills being Mills, and good to see Curtis out there.
We have a lot more to talk about, but what I want to do now, Adam, is go ahead and shoot this invite link over to Leia. So she'll join.
Let's go, Leia.
And we can keep rolling. And when she joins, she can just pick up right with us. How about that?
I like that. I like that.
Invite sent. Leia will join us shortly here. So yeah, you have baby on the way. When? Soon.
Oh God. It's May 12th is the technical date, but yeah, yep. I mean, she's been, you know, what they consider full term for a week or two now. So it really could be any day. And I think the word is that for the first baby, it's much more likely to go to the date or possibly a little after, and subsequent children, it could possibly come earlier. I think that's what I heard at my 9-hour birthing class, Robert.
9 hours. Was that one day?
One day. One day, Woo! Robert. One day, Robert. It's a 9-hour birthing class. So no, but it's, yeah, she's ready to pop. She's looking forward to a, you know, medium rare steak and some sushi. She hasn't been able to have that. She has you know, definitely possibly been slightly more irritable. I kind of softened that as much as I could. But
well, can't blame her, right? She's carrying.
You can't
a child.
Blame her.
She carrying.
You can't
a human.
Blame her at all. So I've you know, we probably had a back and forth a couple times. I need to just let that go. She's in her. She's providing for another human. So I think that's pretty high on the list of things I should not worry about anything else.
Yeah. Is she excited for this thing to come out, or is she kind of nervous about, so she's pumped. Okay.
Oh, you know, she wants, I think it's as much, if not more pumped to just have it out as, it's
not the process, right?
She's an athletic, active person, and she's, you know, so much, she can't really do much. So it's definitely getting to her a little bit, and I can't blame her from that at all. But yeah, I've kind of been trying to, you know, manage thinking about it too much and trying to enjoy some of these last weeks. And it's getting there though. And I'm definitely getting more and more excited. And, you know,
it's 900. It's going to be so fun.
900 people, you know, saying it's a great decision. You're going to love it. And da, 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 da. I mean, it's got to be right. Right, Robert? Right.
Adam, it obviously felt right to you to have this child. So here we are.
It did. Here we are. So either way, exciting times, and life going to change soon, but I think it's going to change for the better.
How are you feeling? Are you nervous? Like Adam, like you said, first 40 years of your life have been pretty wild in terms of just free for all, doing what you want. And now you're responsible for the health and well-being of this little tiny alien creature that's coming out of your pregnant wife's tummy.
Yes. No, it's wild. I've done a pretty good job of just kind of blocking throughout my life, blocking out future events that could possibly give you anxiety, and just finding a way to compartmentalize that and just put it off to the side. But, so that's kind of what I've been doing so far. I mean, obviously, no, it's coming. I've been chatting with people about it, this and that, birthing class, doing a little research here and there, but it's coming, and there's nothing I can do at this point. So, it's game time, Robert, and no more blocking it out or enjoying my selfish me time. There's no more of that moving forward. And I am okay with that. I have come to terms with that.
I mean, you had a good 40-year run, bro.
I had a great run of incredible doing what I want to do selfishness, and it's time to give to something else. And like I said, I think it's a good time for that to happen.
Well, I'm excited to be Uncle Rob and see that little thing, and that's going to be fun. I'm going to add later to the stream, but last question here, Adam, on this topic is, and we haven't even talked about this offline, is obviously MLP's June 21st, something like that. How is Prof feeling on, let's say the baby comes mid-May as expected, how's Prof thinking or feeling on being able to participate in that final MLP of the season?
Yeah. So it's tough because it is kind of like right there on the cusp of time, whether she's going to be like physically okay to play. And it really could come down to a few days. If the baby goes too far past May 12th, that's going to be an issue. If it comes out right on time, I think from kind of what I've heard about kind of how her body looks during pregnancy, that she's probably going to be good to go to play. But I think the recovery process is different from everyone. And, you know, sometimes it's a relatively smooth birth, and sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit longer or some more things that go wrong. So we'll just have to see. But she's a champ. And if she can play through it or, you know, possibly come back a little bit sooner, I think she's one that can do that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's just hope for a healthy mama and baby and go from there.
I like that. So, hey, Leia, how you doing?
Hey, congrats, Adam. I didn't realize it's coming up so quickly. It's like, next month, right? Or is it this
month? Yeah, like it's May 12th. It's really happening. And I'm going to –
happen like a day.
Oh, yeah. It could happen today. I mean, we might have to end this podcast in 10 minutes. Today. I'm driving to Wake Med Cary to have a baby. So I'm going to be like Johnny Goldberg.
Isn't she in finals right now? Like, or is she on leave already?
She's done going to campus. She has some grading to do. But, I mean, she's – like, the timing was perfect. She's not even taking maternity leave. She's just working all the way up to the end, and then it will be summer. So
beautiful.
Yeah. She's doing it, but yeah, I'm happy. She can go play pickleball. I'll just hang out with everyone and be the Johnny Goldberg, have the baby. You know, it's good stuff. I'm happy to do it.
You look like a natural.
It looks like you're wearing a seatbelt, Leia.
No, it's where I just got back from breakfast. I now have this new Lulu fanny that keeps all my insulin right there, so I don't have to constantly be like going through my bag. So yeah, it's like kind of like a fashion staple for me now.
Love it. I know, obviously, I think it's pretty well known that you have diabetes, but I don't think we've ever talked about, I'm sure you've shared it other places, but I haven't really talked about how, like, what that's like, you know, playing, you know, being a touring pro and dealing with that. What's that been like?
It's really tough with the travel. Like, you know, I get really exhausted. And I would say the biggest thing is just by the time Championship Sunday comes around, you can, like, put me in a casket. I'm done, you know? And, like, always after a tournament, no matter what, if I just play doubles, if I just do whatever, I'm in bed for, like, 2 to 3 days afterwards. I always tell, like, my friends, it's like I went to a festival and I went nuts. And I'm in bed recuperating for 2 to 3 days afterwards. And all I did was play pickleball. But it's
like
all good.
An NFL player. They play their game Sunday and they just literally don't get out of bed till Wednesday. It's no different.
Exactly. So but you know, it's a short period in my time, but it's just the travel. The travel is just insane this year. I feel like maybe it's the years adding up, but it didn't used to affect me as much.
Yeah. So just a lot of fatigue around that. But what about like the actual, like how often are you taking insulin, that kind of thing?
Oh, it's every day, all the time. Okay. On singles day, I'll be taking a ton because adrenaline keeps me high on singles day. So yeah, it's just kind of, honestly, it's so robotic to me. I just don't even really think about it. The only thing I think about is just the, like, after a crazy blood sugar weekend, and that's when I notice it. I'm like, oh, it's time for me to sleep for a few days.
Got it. So like the day-to-day management's just kind of on autopilot, but you feel the effects just based on fatigue after travel.
Day-to-day, I'm perfect. Like if I were just a normal diabetic, like living a normal life, I would be the best. But I've gotten this good because of I've been trying to control it on court. On court is just, you know, some days you're really nervous and your insulin's not responding.
Yep. Gotcha. Are you heading to Charlotte this weekend? Or are you already in Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm in Charlotte. I got in last night. And so just kind of chilling and going to go play some singles with Wyatt Stone actually in a few hours. And just kind of, I love Wednesdays. You just kind of feel like you're doing something, but you're not.
Yeah. Just get a little hit in, feel the courts. So who are you playing? Do you have Rettmeyer for mixed?
Rettmeyer and Elise.
Dope. Do you have them all year?
So Rettmeyer, him and I did commit all year. And Elise, we committed for the first 6 months. And I know some people might be upset, but we've decided that, you know, I really have been in year-long partnerships pretty much since I started. And I'm not good at them. I think I get a little bored. I like a little bit of a mix up. And there's so many good players now where I think we're going to mix it up. And I think it would be good for both of us. Like, I don't think our results have been improving. We've been good.
Yeah.
But we haven't improved. But it's hard to improve when you come out just with
a little frozen, Adam.
Yeah, she looks frozen. I wonder what she's looking at.
I wonder what she's looking at.
Okay. So I'm guessing that 32. No talk of breaking or not playing with Rettmeyer, but there looks like there's a chance that there could be a little mix up with Elise.
For that partnership. Excited to hear who it's going to shift to. And I don't disagree with her in terms of, you know, keeping partnerships fresh. I mean, it's not necessarily that she might be going from Elise to quote unquote a better player or a worse player. It's just more about how you complement each other and styles and personalities. And that's usually a bigger factor than just pure, you know, ability and talent, right?
No, definitely. I mean, I think that's absolutely true. It's almost like, it's like switching sides when things aren't going well. It might not be your best option, but you're just mixing it up. You're just mixing it up. So
you're exactly right. It's one thing I talked to Ryler about after our last after our match in SAC against Andre and Pesa. You know, Ryler just couldn't stay in the dink rally past like three or four dinks, and he was saying that he was like, I feel like I'm stuck over here. What do I need to do? And we definitely should have, even though he's a lefty, I definitely should have popped over to the right side and just, you know, hit dinks with pace across court because just to change the pattern. And I feel comfortable with that. But so lay us back. We were just saying that, you know, with a partner switch like that, it's not always about having a quote unquote better partner or, you know, not as good of a partner skill ability wise. It's about mixing it up with skill sets and personalities and how you complement each other.
And I love playing with Elise, and I don't ever want to get to the point where I don't love playing with her. And I kind of feel how 1 year partnerships run. I mean, I think Adam can speak on this. He had a hard breakup with Devil Barr, and when you play with your friend and you like, I have relationships off court. I don't want to feel my feels with my doubles partner because I've been like that. And I've had some partnerships that have ended that have really destroyed me. That's why I committed for 6 months. If we were going to run the table, I was going to stick with it. But, so I'm going to play with Jesse. I have one with Anna. I have two with Andrea. And I'm actually going to play a decent bit with Lacey Schneeman, which I'm pretty excited about.
Schneeman. Okay. So you did go with a mixed bag. And I'll tell you what, for a mixed bag, that's not a bad one. I believe that was four players you mentioned and some pretty, pretty quality talent in there. So that's awesome. And I mean, I was to speak to your point, like, I mean, I guess I was with Deckel for, I don't know, three or four years or something like that. And it like was basically about as good as it could have been, but when you creep into that amount of time, there's always going to be some form of staleness or something small that isn't fully cohesive, whether that's mentally or on the court strategy wise. So totally true. Love Deckel. We had an awesome run together, but it's just something, regardless of how good of friends you are off court or how on the same page you are on court, there's always something that can happen to make that partnership stale. And, you know, makes a lot of sense. I think she's frozen again.
Oh, she looks like she is frozen. I got a question for her when she gets back, though.
Fair enough.
But what I was going to say, Adam, and I'll bring this up to her when she comes back, is that I've had a lot of fun watching Leia this year with Elise play kind of that left side alpha role, mm-hmm. where Elise is playing the right and kind of locking down the right. And I just wonder what that's going to look like with, you know, Jesse, Anna, Andrea, Lacey. I think Lacey is really the, Jesse plays right really well as well, but I'll be curious to see if Leia is playing left or right in a lot of these partnerships, because it's been fun to watch her kind of play that alpha role on the left with Elise. And I think it's been fun to watch because she plays that role really well. And I think it probably is where she should be. So I don't know. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think all the three first partners mentioned are all fairly interchangeable. But I don't think Lacey really wants to be over there on the right. I know she's played there plenty and mixed and whatever, but she, from what I've seen of her, especially in women's, she seems more comfortable on the left side. So, that will be an interesting one. And I think she mentioned that she, of those four partnerships, she has the most with Lacey Schneeman. So that will be something to monitor. And I know this is a little while ago, but I know Leia likes her backhand dink a little bit more than her forehand, but that forehand is so, you know, dangerous on the speed ups. I think Leia over on the right, if she can find some confidence and consistency on that forehand dink, and she can pair that with some of the creating of offense on that side, I think it could be really good, even though I do agree with you, kind of seeing her on the left with that free rein, kind of going for it, using her length and her forehand in the middle has been nice for her these last few months.
Yeah, she's moved really freely. She's her footwork's been great. She's covering a lot of court really well. I mean, Elise isn't very large in stature, so Leia's reach has been really beneficial to that partnership. And it is such a different role going from that to kind of a lockdown right side player, but you know, she does that, and she does that in mix with Travis. So I have no doubt that she's going to be fine over there. So it'll be fun to watch new partnerships.
And I think, you know, there's that's a fine combination to be a right side, you know, like what you were talking about too. So you know, you can have a more rockish player, say kind of like myself, or you can have a slightly more threatening player on the right that speeds up more frequently. And I don't think either one is necessarily right or wrong. So can have a super consistent, only focusing on setting up that left side player. And then you can have a right side player that starts the fire a little bit more with some good solid speed ups. And then maybe that left side player cleans up. So there's not a blueprint, a perfect blueprint for that right side player, but certainly forehand dink consistency really needs to be there. And then after that, you can put your own spin on it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I'm sure she's not the only one that has, you know, that's mixing up partnerships in the second half of the year. Obviously, you know, Jesse, Anna, Andrea, Lacey are also playing with other people. So I like that, man. We talk about all the time how some matchups can get stale, and we're already seeing that a little bit with Leia and Elise, right? Like, so I think seeing new partnerships is always fun. I honestly think it would be pretty cool to have it be like required, to where, you know, throughout the season, you must play you must play with X number of different people. Like, that's a requirement.
I like, or you can cap it. So every PPA you play, you can have six PPAs with a person, and that's it. And then that's it. Yeah. You have to switch. So I know, I think that that's cool. And it's, she mentioned it right before she froze out, that there's more talent in the women's field, and we got all the APP players as well, which is great, which is really exciting. So all those, whatever, Vivian, Georgia's, Anna's, whoever was playing APP. So not only do you get an influx of new talent, you get the tours combining. So it does give the ladies options. And they didn't really have that a year, 18 months ago, where the guys did. You saw it more with the guys, and now we're going to see it with the girls as well. And I think both are great. The variety of both is great.
That's a great point. I'm just thinking back to, like, even last year, right, of how limited the PPA women's field was in terms of who you could partner with. It was so restrictive and limited. So you're absolutely right. Having a wide array of options, and not just a wide array of options, but, like, I mean, we're talking top 10 talent. Like, the Georges that came over, Vivians, et cetera. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. The depth, I mean, we've talked about a lot. The depth in the women's game has been lacking, but, you know, and we talked about that with MLP having 48 players. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think the second half of this year's, I don't think quality in that challenger on the women's side and challenger is going to be, it's going to be that rough. I think it's going to be pretty solid, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely true. And it's like you said, you don't have to mix things up and dip down a tier. You can mix things up in your own tier with your own similar talented players, as opposed to having, if you did want to make a switch a year, 18 months ago, you probably had to go to someone, you know, a full rung below you.
That might be on the rise.
In terms of talent, whether that's an old crusty vet or that's solid or a new up and coming player that's less proven. Either way, there had to be some form of, you know, like, you're not exactly going to know what you're going to get. And now that's not really the case. So, I mean, look at those players that Leia said that are her options or who she's playing with. We're talking about Andrea Coop, Anna Bright, and there was one other one that was very good player either way. So
yeah, Jesse Irvin, Lacey.
There you go. Yeah.
I think three of the four gold medal winners on the PPA tour. So
yeah, right. I mean, come on.
Pretty solid selection. Yeah,
for sure. So that's great to see, you know, that they can, you know, switch it up and still be relevant, as opposed to switch it up and probably not even sniff the medal rounds as it was previously. So that's great.
Yeah. And Leia said her internet's fine. Her phone just keeps overheating, but she's switching it out, so she'll be on in two. So she'll be back with us shortly. But Adam, and we'll talk to Leia about it as well, the PPA in Charlotte this weekend. But kind of the big news around this event, and, you know, a lot of the talk and buzz around this event is because they got a hometown boy in Charlotte, Jack Sock, who is participating in not just doubles, but he's playing men's singles, mixed pro doubles with Anna Lee Waters, and he's playing men's pro doubles with Tyson McGuffin. No slouches for partners. So that's one way to come into pro pickleball, right? Not the same way most of us came in, where we're just trying to, you know, play some singles to show, to prove yourself a little bit, to snag some decent partners. I mean, he's coming in guns a-blazing. Uh-huh. And of course, he played at the Bubbly Championship in Vegas, the team event, which was a little bit of a glorified exhibition in a sense, but he was able to show off some of his skills and ability. And Jack's been playing for more than a couple of years now. So he's not a newcomer, but he hasn't played a lot of high level pro pickleball kind of level events or matches. So this is new territory for him in terms of competing at the highest level in a real tournament setting. So exciting stuff.
Yeah. And you mentioned it. There's a lot of different, you can play pickleball for a year, and there's a lot of different ways to play pickleball for a year. Is it playing twice a month, you know, for 30 minutes on Tuesday night and Thursday night, or is it, you know, psychopath James Ignatovic, you know, playing, you know, literally 10 hours a day. So court time and who you're playing with, the quality of your play, all of these things factor into kind of, you know, where you stack up in terms of how long you play, because we all get enticed with upside and, you know, players that have only been playing for 4 weeks or 6 weeks and showing some relevance. So it's different for everyone. I know he's played quite a bit of pickleball, but who knows really how quality that is. If he's just goofing off with Donald Young and a couple of the other tennis guys, or is he playing some real points and some real matches? So either way, it's great. I talked to Dave Fleming. They're going to put him on the live stream a lot, which they absolutely should. I mean, as this is, you know, kind of a, really the only guy we were in a group chat with Matt Wright, which we often do.
Yeah.
And I think my line was, he asked some questions and my line was, he's the only guy right now that I could see turning into a monster.
Yeah.
So plenty, don't get me wrong, plenty of talented guys, plenty of guys who could make the leap into that top five, top couple conversation. But in terms of the pedigree, the physical tools and the, you know, just the racket paddle sport background, I just think he checks more boxes than anyone. And he certainly, you know, might go 2-2 and look okay this weekend. But if anyone can break through from what I've seen and the quality words of people that I trust kind of in the pickleball community that have talked about his skill set, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing him play and playing with him in Dallas. Impressed me with the soft stuff. I thought, you know, that's usually the last to come and the most challenging, the mid-court stuff. And still making some bad decisions in the mid-court, right? Like just wailing forehands from your shoelaces because you can. And get away with it, you know, if you're not playing high-level, you know, games. But so I think, looking at this weekend where he's playing with Anna Lee and playing with Tyson, it'll be interesting. If I'm playing them, I'm just trying to grind Jack down and just make him play a lot of dinks, right? Because in a tournament setting where, you know, he's used to high-level matches, don't get me wrong. You know, he's played at the highest level of tennis, which, you know, trumps, like, significantly – these pickleball matches. But at the same time, I would guarantee he's going to feel butterflies. He's going to be nervous. There's a fair amount of expectations, right, coming into it. And it's, I'll tell you, when you're a little tight, it's hard to not pop up some dinks.
No, it's true. And we just saw Leah Jansen back with us taking a little swig of that Starbucks. Zero motivation to I can do anything in 5 minutes. That first cup of coffee.
Well, it's true. This is actually my second cup. I'm pretty addicted, but I'm all good now. I set up my new iPhone. So thank you for this to happen, because I've been using this broken iPhone.
Nice.
And now that it like just overheated. So now I set up my brand new one that I paid $1,500 for.
God, you have a
we're here to help.
Backup iPhone in the wings just waiting.
I bought it a month ago trying to change over. And I think Adam can speak to this. Like, there's something about your old phone and not wanting to use new technology that keeps
happening. Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God,
oh,
yes.
I can. How much time do we have? I can speak to that for a while. So, absolutely true. I thought that was funny, though. And I even remember on Twitter, Robert, you said, I get the same feeling from cup number five.
Yeah,
I believe is what you said.
Yeah.
No, he's a psycho. Like,
I'm a psycho.
And he's not joking.
He's a James Ignatowicz.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I drink significant amounts of caffeine.
I love it. Talking about sock, huh?
Celsius.
Yeah, we were just talking about sock, and we were just commenting how, of course, there's, you know, tons of not tons, but lots of players with impressive skill sets. But I was saying that he's the one that stood out to me that could really become a monster if he commits to it. I know, I'm not sure if you've had any experience with him outside of that bubbly championships, but I know you got to play with a little bit of him there. What did you think about his skill set at the bubbly championships in Las Vegas?
Well, growing up, my dad used to just hate on Jack Sock's forehand because of all his wrist. And it's perfect for pickleball. Like, I think how wristy he is going to be such a great correlation. And like, his court coverage is ridiculous. I mean, he's by like leaps and bounds, just like, you know, obviously he's competed at way, like a way higher level than all of us in anything. But back then, and even a few months ago, I would hear from people in Texas playing with him in Dallas, like, make ball bounce, you're good. It's harder to make the ball bounce against him, but I do think we're skilled enough to make the ball bounce. and kind of make him force something. And, you know, when you're getting targeted and you're playing with an elite, there is an amount of pressure, you know, and I can speak to it. Like, I feel like I'm really battle tested in pickleball, but there is some pressure just when Anna Lee's taking so much court and you're seeing every ball, you're just kind of like, well, this is it. First of all, it's weird playing with her because it's not traditional and she's not a tennis player. So for Jack, the court awareness that he has, Anna Lee does not have. She's like a chaos kind of run into you soccer player. So I don't know. I don't know if the drive and crash doesn't work for them. I think there might be a lot of unforced errors from that side.
Yeah. And this is obviously incredibly different, but we had Tim Parks, the Hard Eights owner, playing with Riley Newman because Matt.
Oh,
Wright
yeah. I saw some of that.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't look like he was having fun. I don't know what to say for that.
He's a very competitive guy, but anyway, we were practicing the day before and he was like, all right, guys, just come at me. That's what they're going to do. He's worried about sliding over and punching that backhand, kind of like Colin does. But then we talked to him after the tournament, and he was like, nobody even hit the ball hard to me at all. They just hit dinks to me. So that's the situation. It's not like people are going to be firing away at Jack's sock. Make the ball bounce, dink to him, play soft. If he can figure it out and make some good decisions, you know, great. Maybe you go away from that, but – first tournament, there's a good chance he's not going to be making great decisions. So,
first tournament too is just it's going to be weird. And then for men's especially, I think it's going to be interesting because I know him and Tyson are going to have this drive and crash mentality. Sure. But besides that, I don't know where a whole lot of offense is coming. And as good as Jack's hands are, say he plays with like a Dylan, you know, against a Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan can hit so many spots. I don't care how fast your hands are. Like, you don't know how to guard your spots yet, which is, you know, every new tennis player coming into pickleball. So I think there's just a lot of little nuances, but obviously, yes. Like if he dives full in, I have no doubt he'll surpass the Joneses, like with whoever he plays with.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it sounds like he is coming in full time next year. Well, full time is
next year.
Yeah, as in from whatever 15 to 18 tournaments. So.
I'm just excited to see singles because that's where I feel like, you know, the physical force comes in. You know, you see it with Judith Costello. She's been playing 8 months and she's already, like, you saw it with Paris and Anna. Anna was more impressive because she did it in doubles, but Paris and Judith kind of came in like within 8 months and they're top of the singles game. And it's like, well, yeah, it's especially, you know, when they got, you know, the paddles how they are nowadays. You guys are playing some mini tennis. And that's kind of how I feel like it will be with Jack.
Great. Yeah. And it's interesting because he hasn't like when he plays pickle, he's playing doubles mostly. He's not one of those guys that came in and just like played singles because it translates easiest. Like he's been playing for a while and he's playing mostly doubles. I don't think he's trained singles very much. So it'll be an interesting viewpoint on pretty raw singles ability. Whereas like, you know, Jack's obviously a completely different level than like a Noah Rubin, but we saw Noah Rubin struggle, right? And he played multiple tournaments and practiced and didn't get very far. So it'll just be really, yeah, you're right. It'll be really curious to see how Jack does just raw singles talent.
Yeah. And I think like if you take a Maria Sharapova, do I think she's going to be good at pickleball? No. Like she was a baseliner taking time away from people.
Yeah.
If I take a Justine Henin or Ash Barty, yeah, they're going to whoop me in within 10 minutes. So it's all about your skill set as a tennis player. And it's Jack's skill set.
That Jans chick. I don't know. I watched her play one match. She's drop shotting and lobbing, carving it up, playing all court game. I mean, that lady would be amazing at pickle.
She would be ridiculous, like ridiculous. So there's players like that, but I'm really excited to see, and I'm most interested in singles, and I'm most interested just to kind of see the dynamics of what he looks like in mixed doubles.
Yeah.
So to kind of play devil's advocate, so I would say the most interesting for me is men's. Because I think in mixed, they can, like you said, they can kind of go crazy, overwhelm people, just totally speed up everything in a little bit more structured setting in men's. We'll see exactly what it looks like if it's crazy hectic smash and grab, or if it's a little more structured and point construction. So
it's interesting too, because I don't know who they have second round, but they're lined up with Lung and Ignatowicz. I think they maybe have Deacon Rettmeyer.
Okay.
Which will also be interesting.
No, sure.
But you
sure.
know, Deacon's hands, I mean, he's getting 50. They're not like the same ice cold hands.
They're still good though.
No.
He might be a little susceptible to the drive and crash, but it would be interesting because I think James kind of plays the way of someone like Jack would want. Just
yes.
Like just kind of spastic going for it. So if James isn't on, I think that could be an interesting match.
Yeah. And James is not, he's not a grind you out kind of guy. Yeah. And you know, that's just isn't. It just isn't. So I could kind of like, I love it. Sometimes you can almost like physically see James like, I should probably dink this on court. Like you can like physically see him want to dink it. And then he just whips through. He just whips through with some speed. So it's pretty good stuff, but you're exactly right. And I've done the same thing. You don't know the guys, the first handful of points, you just fire away and just kind of see what's happening. And if they're all pretzeled up and not handling it, you just keep doing it. But you fire away a couple of times on sock, he puts one into your chest. You're going to go to the slow game pretty quick.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting too, because I definitely think, like, you know, while we were playing for money, I would definitely say not everyone was giving their full fourth effort in Vegas that weekend. And there were some people staying out late at night. And like, so it would be very interesting to see, like, when everyone's locked in a very competitive standpoint of kind of what it looks like.
Right. Yeah. And I got to give a shout out to Joey Farias. Just because you talked about the, you know, going out in Vegas, the bubbly. I just remember talking to Joey. He had busted out of the tournament. And I was like, hey, Joey, what are you up to tonight? And he's like, I don't know, man. I'm just going to let Vegas take me. And I was
What a quote.
I'm just going to let Vegas take me. I was like, my man, Joey. There we go.
Joey's one of the best, let me tell you.
Oh, he is. I got too many stories about him, so I'm just going to tell that one and not tell anymore. He really is absolute legend of the game, Joey Farias. So, Rob, did you unfortunately say something about a hard stop today for you?
Yeah, I said 12 o'clock Eastern for me, hard stop, but I can make that 12:05. So we have
to. Ooh, baby. Yeah. Well, wait, you got.
I just want to hear Leia talk about stuff. Like, I just want to let Leia go.
This has been normal shit so far. This has been normal stuff so far.
Like, I just kind of want to address a lot of people. It's still like, I don't know, 11 days later, and I still have a lot of people upset that I didn't apologize to Salome, which is hilarious because I just kind of want to be like, hey guys, did you not say like I'm going to be the villain this year and you know my name a lot more now than last year? And you guys still are like 11 days later than paying attention to me. Like, stop falling into my trap.
I told you.
But it would be mainly like this incident. There was a gray area. Like, that's kind of how I came out and said it. I wrote it out because I didn't want to go off script, because we know I can go off script sometimes. The PPA did not make me write it. I wrote it because I'm very happy the PPA responded to my very much public outcry. You know, it was disappointing that it had to get to that point, but we've been talking about paddle testing forever. And, but I apologize for what I thought was wrong, which was how I lost my cool. And, you know, I feel like she knows she was pushing the limits. No person can just come out and say, this was 100% legal, because there's a huge gray area. And like in 50 years, when we look back on this, that match and that incident will be the reason why. Like, there's got to start being some stuff put in where we can just be like, hey, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it would have been interesting to see if it was put under ultrasound instead of just this spec 0.5 taken out of MLP. Like, even Brooks has talked about, we're gathering data, even for grit. Like, what is 40% grit? Like, how do we know that's good for our game? You know what I mean? So it's like, this incident is changing towards that, but had I even apologized to her, everyone would have been like, well, she's not even sorry. So it's like, I'm not going to set myself up for that, and I'm just going to do what I want.
So you mentioned the gray area. What is the gray area? Oh, just lost her. Man, that was just like a mic. Maybe she's not coming back after that. She's just like, had said what she had to say and then bye.
I'd
respect it a lot.
Yeah. If she just went on a spiel and then just rolled out and that was that.
Adam, I told you before we got on the air that before kind of every podcast, I go to Google search and look up pickleball and then click on the news category to see what articles are coming up. Yeah. And I still have this tab at the top of my screen that says, that's one of the articles that came up near the top. And it said, this is the headline of the article. Someone keeps masturbating near the Walter Reed pickleball courts. Anyways, I'm not going to go into that article, but that's the stuff that's popping up.
Did you kick me out of that one? Or
no, ask Leia. Ask Leia about what she thinks about that top article that when you search Google pickleball. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, no, I didn't kick you out, Leia. I think
I just looked to hit something on my new phone.
StreamYard really appreciated it. We thought like if that's a legit mic drop and you're out. Respect, you know?
Like, she's gone, man. She's gone. You got to respect it.
I was telling Adam, like, kind of before every pod, just to kind of get a current event, like, brief of what's going on in pickleball. I do a Google search of pickleball, then I click on the news category to see what news articles are being written. And the second from the top, published 21 hours ago at arlnow.com, the headline reads, "Someone keeps masturbating near the Walter Reed pickleball courts."
What would you do if you were practicing, Leia, and you just look over and someone's masturbating?
I would have to end my practice.
We're gonna have to edit all this out.
Yeah, I have a question. I have a question for you guys. Rob, I still know like you're coming back from injury and playing, but Adam, I would say you're pretty much retired.
Oh yeah.
When you guys look at pickleball now and all that's what's going on, do you think it's good or bad for the game? Because this is kind of a debate I'm hearing. And like, I'm so in the fishbowl, I want to hear people's outside perspectives.
In what sense?
Do you think like this has helped growing it and like this is good, creating all this chaos and stuff is good? Or is it like, well, this is just kind of a circus show. This is going to go nowhere. Like, what do you think?
In terms of the paddle stuff and all the controversy.
Yeah, like, just like that. There's like with the PPA and the regulations, how we're trying to make a handbook, how you kind of have players, including myself, you got players like Tyson hopping out on their podcast, you know, stirring the pot. Do you think it's good? Do you think it's
good?
Or do you think it's not so good?
I don't know if it's good.
Go ahead, Rob, you go first.
Yeah,
no, I was just gonna say it does depend on what you consider good, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, we used to play tournaments and we'd all go out to eat together and it was one big happy family. That's never gonna happen again.
No.
But growth of sport, eyeballs on sport, money into sport, better opportunities in between the lines and outside the lines. I think it absolutely is good. I just think of like someone clicking on a clickbait thing about drama, but think of all the pickleball stuff around that drama on a podcast that you hear also. So it's like you might be going in for drama or, ooh, that's kind of spicy, but you get pickleball content and get more involved in the game in some capacity, even if at first all you cared about was the drama that was going on. So I think good eyeballs, bad eyeballs, eyeballs are eyeballs, and it's a good thing to just get people talking and buzzing about the sport. So if you're a money in the sport, grow it as big as it can get, I think it's good.
Yeah, fair. I don't know if it's – I think it's just growing pains is how I look at it.
Yeah.
And like this stuff's natural in terms of growing a professional sport and finding regulations and – finding standards that players abide by, especially the wild thing to me, I do think we might be rushing it a little bit in terms of, like, I think Connor Pardo said betting's coming within a month, right? Or something like that. I heard that two years ago too, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? But I do know that to have kind of like, you know, the issue right now is level playing field, not only in betting, which you do need to know that, you know, players are regulated, that, you know, certain players don't have advantages, whether it's performance enhancing drugs or whether it's a paddle that's juiced, whether it's whatever it may be. For betting, there needs to be a level playing field, but also for the players, there needs to be a level playing field. And right now there's not. And that's just because of lack of regulation. So I think regulations are good. They need to come in. And I think that's what's going to allow betting. And that's what's going to allow, I do think betting is the major catalyst in making pro pickleball really a more of a mainstream sport with real money coming in. Love it or hate it, I think that's the catalyst. So I think we need to do whatever it takes to get that.
It's inevitable. I think, like, if you want it to become something, every pro sport has betting, and especially with pickleball, if you want people at first to get eyeballs on it, it's going to be betting. So it's just interesting, because I've a lot of people have been like, this is like the WWE, like, you guys are all acting like maniacs and stuff. Yeah. And I don't think people know, like, so if I'm out there playing somebody and I think I'm at a disadvantage, which I've been feeling like multiple times in singles, I've been at a disadvantage for the past 2 years. I can firmly say that I believe I am one of the top singles players who's not looking for stuff. And I do, however, look for an up to par gritty paddle that I always get tested, though. Yep. Like, I push the limits on my grit. I go right up to that 40. But if you don't, like, but we have a regulation in for that. So as someone who's, like, out there playing for literally their livelihood, for their retirement, for my, if I want a future family's retirement, like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of feel like, of course, emotions are going to come out and we're going to fight for stuff and these things are going to happen. Yep. I think Anna Lee Waters is making comfortably over seven figures this year. So at what point are you not just going to be like, I mean, I would imagine like the top male pros are making the same. I've heard crazy numbers of what Riley is making. And there's been some talk of his paddle as well. So at what point do you just not throw your hands up and be like, I'm sick of this? And no one understands. Like, I've been on this issue since end of last year. Like, I've played with delaminated paddles in practice, and I'm a freaking all-star singles player with them. And I've been making a big deal to Connor Pardoe since January about this, and nothing's happening. So yeah, I'm going to lose my top sometimes when I feel like nothing is ever going to happen from it.
Yeah. And let's be clear. I know people that would cheat at tiddlywinks. We're talking about seven figures.
Exactly.
We're talking about seven figures, and we're talking about real money, real, you know, pickleball famous and whatever else. That's real shit, just, man. That's serious.
Just think of the OGs too, who are like really in this and would be damned if now that it's become a big thing for them to lose their mark. Like, there's no way they're letting this go. You know, that's impossible. That's like a earth-shattering event for some of them. So that's motivation in itself. It's finally coming to mainstream. I don't want to be the person who was good back then, but I'm not good now.
Yeah.
That's me.
Go get some PEDs and a delaminated paddle and you're back, Adam.
Hey, well, I signed with Selkirk, so I got a better paddle.
Signed with Selkirk too?
Yeah, everybody. I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
He's an elite content creator. Of course he signed with Selkirk.
I'm a high-end pickleball personality. You damn right they signed me. Let's go. Come on.
Hey, actually, with you, that Selkirk can really help your countering ability.
That's what we talked about earlier.
Paddle Tech was doing you no justice.
Yeah. I told him now. You're still gonna get lit up. You're gonna get lit up less.
Yeah. No,
Adam was always on the first one. It was when the second one came back, his big swing never left him because he was trying to put so much on it.
It's true. It's true. The subsequent hits were very much less good for me than that first one. So I hear that.
Guys, but I hate to do this, but the Mayo Clinic's calling me, so I have to go.
Yeah, so
I hope you're good, Rob.
Hey, well, we might have to combine these. We might have to get her back for a little 20 or 30 minute in the next few days.
Yes, get me back. I have my new phone, and I'll be ready for you guys.
No overheating.
Didn't get too juicy. We didn't get too juicy, so we got to get her back, Robert.
Come on,
I told Leia she's going to be a regular guest.
Get me back and get me in trouble, guys. It's always fun when I get the YouTubers yelling at me.
Oh, yeah. We'll juice it up next time. Thanks, Leia. Absolutely. Thanks for joining.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good
All right,
luck.
Bye, guys.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.